Sister Betty, she seemed to think this morning that the things that I said might have been a little misunderstood about people purchasing land or having a home off of the campground. Really, I didn't see anything that should have been misunderstood. I have spoke a number of times concerning those things. They're on tape as to what we really meant. But I know that everybody can't live on the campground. I wish we did have enough land. Our plans here was to purchase a lot more properties where more people could have lived on the grounds, but somehow they didn't. Different people just couldn't get the vision. And there was nothing that was to insinuate, that is in the morning service, nothing to insinuate that a person could not have a home and have some properties. We've got a number of people that, a number of them that have their own properties and some of them their own houses. Matter of fact, I think Brother Hollis does. And they're helping us. That hasn't hindered us. Brother Hollis is paying one of the radio bills by himself. You know, because you live somewhere like that, that doesn't mean that you can't do anything for God. I was only speaking of people who don't come to church when they're close by. What makes you think that they're going to come to church if they get farther away? Or people that are on the campground that are not pressing in for God as to coming to church, what makes you think that they're going to come to church any better or as good when they get farther away? What could make a person think that they were moving in the will of God to purchase land and houses to get away from a group of people when they're not fully walking with God to begin with? How could they then think that that would be the will of the Lord and that they would do better? See, that's what I'm saying. It's like I was telling my wife, you know, if you needed shoes, there's a place close by where you could get them, didn't have to pay for them. This was a regular thing, and they had them over there all the time. Why go buy shoes? See, if you didn't have a place like that, and if you needed some, you'd have to go buy them. But when there's a campground, when you've already got a place, when you've got those things settled in your life, and you don't have to worry about them, then why go do that? It's not as to me being concerned about money. I mentioned somebody today that's fixing to do that very thing. The Lord let me know that they're going to do that very thing. And the person may quit coming to church. I don't know. And they may quit giving to the work of the Lord. That I don't know. When people get away from God, it's for sure they don't lose their vision and they're not going to support the cause of Christ. That's for sure. They're bound to do that, you know, get away from it. But so far, this particular individual that I'm speaking of now has numbers of times failed to come to church regularly. But the person, so far as I know, has always been a staunch giver, never failing to give, multiplied hundreds of dollars to the work with a regularity. So that's no problem, you know. I don't worry about the money end of it. But I am concerned about individuals. As a matter of fact, this particular individual, I had him on my mind for hours last night. I couldn't get him off of my mind. I prayed about it, talked to the Lord about it. I'd done everything that I knew to do. They were on my mind. If you love somebody, they're on your mind, and you don't want nothing to happen to them. And when you see something going wrong, naturally you're going to be concerned. You're going to say something about it. And here as a preacher, of course, I'm going to preach and say something to help turn you around and keep you turned in the right direction. Because I don't want you to lose out with God. I don't want anything to happen to you. And I know that when you get away from the Lord, you give place to spirits. And you begin to think naturally you got problems. You know, a person, they'll be going along real good, and they'll get strong, and they'll get lifted up, and they'll get to where they feel like that they're doing fine, and they're carrying the load, and the preachers say something good about them, because the Bible said in a good thing, I'll praise you. And then the first news you know, the individual gets the feeling that they can handle the situation, and they feel like, well, I'm going along fine, I've done my part, I've got my job done, whereas let me tell you for sure, no one's ever done their part in the gospel. No one's ever done their part. We've all failed. Everyone that's ever lived in this world or ever will live will come short of the glory of God. Jesus is the only one that ever done the part that was to be done. And even he, after doing that, He spoke of it like this. Through the mouth of the teachers, he said, and having given your body a living sacrifice, it's just a reasonable service. But having given his body completely to God, they bruised it, they crucified him, all of that, then he still wasn't justified by his laws, by his acts through the law. No flesh being justified by that. So then, we haven't done our part. But there are some that have stood so staunchly with me in the origin of this work, and they've tried so hard, so very hard to help me in a great way, that if there was such a thing, then some of them would have done their part, and it would be up to you to do your part. But as I say, we get confident that everything is all right, and then the first thing we say, well, a little hunting over here won't hurt us. A little fishing over here won't hurt us. Whereas I usually don't say anything about hunting and fishing unless a person gets to staying out of church to go hunting and fishing. I usually don't say anything about a person's job until they get to staying out of church to go work on their job. And I usually don't say anything about visiting of relatives until they get to staying out of church to visit their relatives. And folks, we've had people to do this. We've had people to leave off with their services, the Lord's services, to go visit their relatives, to go to their jobs, to go fishing, to go hunting, and all these things. And you can be sure Brother Pius is going to preach against it because God commanded me to do it. The Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then after that you're fishing if you're going to do any fishing. See, but people are bad, like a couple today, as far as I know. They stayed out of church to go visit their relatives. All right, now, another stayed out of church to go do a job. And see, here's the thing. I'm going to preach against that because that's wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. See, and when you do that, I don't understand, and God doesn't understand. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, you see, it's like this. I have to work 5 and 6 days a week, they say. And Sunday and Saturday, I have to take some day off to go fishing or hunting. Well, I don't see it. I mean, that's your approach. I don't see it. If you want to go hunting and fishing, take Monday and Tuesday off. Leave off with your dollar. Leave off with your gullible desire. Leave off with your builders. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, if I do that, I may lose my builders. I know, but if you do the other, you may lose your soul. But you know what you do? You take advantage of God. You say, well, I can't leave my builders. I can't leave off with my work. I've got to pay my bills. I've got to have my money. But God, it doesn't matter about him. God, who is God? You know, God understands. It'll be all right. I take 2 or 3 days off. I miss a half a dozen services. It's all right. God, he'll understand. But I'm going to tell you, God doesn't understand. God, not like you think he is. He said, you think I'm altogether such a one as you are. But someday, he said, I'll meet you face to face as a bear that's robbed of the cubs. And I'll tear you into pieces because you forgot me. You've forgotten me, he said, even days without number, you've forgotten. Why don't you take off on Monday? Oh, somebody said, Brother Pike, take off from my job? You mean to tell me that your job's more important than God? Going to your job and pleasing the builder, having your income, or feeding your belly and your wife's belly and the children's belly, that's more important than it is to come to the house of God? You got 5 and 6 days a week to do that, and you could take 1 or 2 of them, and you've got 1 day a week to worship God, as we say, on Sunday, and you're going to take that day off and go fishing? No, I'm not going to see that, folks. Ain't no need to try to indoctrinate me that way. I guess I'm just too far down the trail and sod in my ways, as somebody said. You know, that you're never going to change me to your kind of doctrine. I don't believe that. I believe you should come to the house of God, that it's the most important thing in your life and in your children's life. And I believe that you should meditate in the laws of God every day of your life and all day long. Like my wife was telling me, I believe somebody was down at the river fishing. I might have this all mixed up. I sometimes don't have to hear things of many people going in and out of the house. But anyway, telling me about somebody down there fishing, they was trying to get the little boy to be quiet. He said, be quiet. We can't catch fish. We can't fish. And I may have this wrong. It might have been somewhere else outside of fishing, but this is the way I got it. And said, while they were doing it, said the little boy tried to be quiet. And said, then after a while, said he just got to, I don't know, he got to clapping his hands, singing, whatever, but as loud as he could go, I believe, said, he started, said, there's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. And I thought, praise God for the power in the blood in the little boy. You know, That little fellow's mind has been oriented in the things of God. He's been programmed into the things of God. And he's more interested in the power and the blood. See, now that's the way I see it. A little child shall lead them. So as I say, I don't see anything about you going fishing, and I don't see anything about the other things you do. That's your business. I think there's better things to do than to spend all your time fishing. You know, Peter went fishing, and the Lord went out there, and he said, one time he asked him if he caught anything. He knew there was fishing for a living then. He said, no. He said, that's all right, I'll take care of it. He filled her nets up, you know. And then another time he's out there just a fishing, and he's supposed to be preaching. And the Lord said, Peter, said, what about this? Said, don't you love me? Oh, yeah, he said, love you. Catching fish all the time. Got to do whatever we got to do, but we want you to know we love you. He said, do you love me? Oh, yes, he said, we love you. And Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? He said, oh, yes, I love you. Jesus said, Peter, do you love me more than all this fishing? He said, if you do, it's time to quit fishing and it's time to go to preach. And then Peter was all disturbed. See, that's what I ask you. What will you do with Jesus? Do you love Jesus better than your belly? Since all of your labors for your belly? Seems like the contest is between your belly and between Jesus. And that's because the serpent is on his belly. And he's the one that's defined the whole thing. So then, do you love Jesus better than your belly or better than your job, better than prestige, better than your television program, better than your magazines, better than the ball games, better than all of the things that you do, hunting and fishing and whatever? Do you love Jesus better? If you do, the Bible said that that love will be proven by what you do for Jesus. If you spend all of your time trying to make money, if you spend all of your time trying to build your home, if you spend all of your time trying to do something out in the world, then it is a positive proof that you love the world and you love the things of the world better than you love the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what you tell the preacher, that doesn't matter. That's the way it is, folks. So Brother Pike says something about it. If you want to contest it, it's all right with me. You know, I'm not here to tell you who to go fishing, who not to go fishing. It's all right with me, but I will tell you one thing, that when you do these things, there'll be a day that you'll come back to the preacher, or you'll look back in his direction, and you'll say, my God, that preacher was right. You can't spend all of your time sitting down on the banks of a river fishing or out in the lake. You can't spend all your time hunting and frolicking around. It does pay off in sorrow and heartache. And I wished I had to listen to the preacher, but it'd be too late then. You can't spend all of your time making money and trying to build a business and having prestige. And all these things of trying to build a home and plant vineyards and buying cars. You can't do all of that. The preacher said it was wrong, and now I know it is wrong. And too late, you'll turn around and say, I wished I had to listen. But that's your business. That's your business. All right, St. Matthews, I only said that by the way of explanation since my wife, she confronted me with it today. Over in the book of St. Matthews, I just exhort you a little bit tonight. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me and we'll read chapter 21. And when they drew nigh to Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage under the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. If any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. A very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the table of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto them, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. When he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only. And said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith, and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. In Mark, the 11th chapter, the 26th verse, I believe it is, 11:22, I believe it is, there's a better explanation of this. This is recorded in a number of the Gospels. It gives us an account of this thing, and it explains it in just a little better way. In Mark 11, let's read a little bit. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out into Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. When even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. When ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. All right, now, look at this. It says here that we are to have faith in God. We're to have faith in God. Luke tells us to have faith in God. Mark is telling us to have faith in God. And it is said here that faith is so great. I want you to listen real close to this. It says here that faith is so great that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. I want to read that again. It says, in the 22nd verse, and Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. Jesus is saying unto them, and the Bible says, and Jesus was saying unto them, Have faith in God. Why would Jesus say that? Why would Jesus bother to say that? And Jesus was saying unto them, Have faith in God. Why didn't he talk about something else?
A lot of things he could have talked about. He could have talked about heaven. He could have talked about healing. He could have talked about all kind of things. He could have talked about that. But here he's not speaking of healing at all, not even in connection with faith. But here he is, he says to these people, he says, have faith in God. Jesus said, have faith in God. I just want to emphasize that a few minutes. And the Bible says that Jesus spoke up and Jesus said, have faith in God. Peter calling to remembrance that on the way into Jerusalem, here Jesus in the morning being hungry, sought to find fruit upon this tree and found no fruit at all. And when he cursed the tree in the returning, Peter recalls that this happened and he sees this tree drying up from the roots. Trees don't die from the roots. I say this so often. Look at the trees around here that's dying and you'll find out they die from the top down. So as the sun releases the sap as to a disease of the tree or whatever it is, it returns into the trunk from the leaves, the limbs, goes back into the roots and back into the ground. But this is an unusual thing. God has let it happen to show that this is not a normal dying of this tree, that this tree actually is dying because it has been cursed. Here is a man walking along. Can you picture that? And a hungry man at that. You ever been hungry? Here is a man just walking along, as we say, like a nonchalant sort of a stride. He's just walking along. Jesus with his disciples had got up, haven't eaten any breakfast apparently, and he's walking along and he's hungry. He's just walking along, just a man, just like I'm a man, just like you a man. That is, you people that are men. So then here he is, just walking along. Jesus, just walking along. And Jesus is hungry, just a man. And he comes up to a tree, and he can't get any figs. There's not anything on it. And he just looked at the fig tree, just a man. And he says, because you don't have any figs on you, you won't ever have any figs on you anymore. Never again. Just think now. You're walking along, you're a man. Here you are, you want some figs off of a tree. The figs isn't there. And you just turn around to the tree. You're a man now, you just turn around to a tree. And all you do is with your words, you say to that tree, no figs for me. There'll be no more figs on your branches, never again. And your words are so powerful that the tree life leaves and never again. Will that tree ever blossom? Your words, just a man, that's all he was. He eat like you eat. He had a body just like you've got. His bodily functions, his organic parts was just like your parts. Elijah, man of like passion, is same as you and I. But he commanded the heavens, a man. Joshua, a man just like you and I. But he commanded the heavens. Moses, a man like you and I. But he commanded the Red Sea. He commanded the earth. Here Jesus is just walking along, just a man, just like we are. And all of a sudden he speaks to this tree. And he says, henceforth and forever there will never be any more fruit on your branches. And Peter, being a man too, Peter thought, what kind of a word is this? They said, what kind of a man is this? His words are with power. He commandeth the unclean spirits and they do obey him. What kind of man is this? The same way he spoke to the tree, he spoke to spirits. See, what was the difference? I've got a mouth just like Jesus had a mouth. I've got a tongue just like Jesus has got a tongue. And the Bible speaks of the words being within the tongue. I've got eyes. I've got a body just like Jesus had a body. But what was the difference? He spoke, his oral sound came forth from his organic parts, just like you and I. The voice box, the vocal organs, all of it was the same. Words, sound, no difference in it whatsoever. Had nothing to do with the sound at all. Here was the voice of Moses. Here was the voice of Joshua. Here was the voice of Elijah. Here was the voice of Jesus. See, nothing different, just exactly the same. But what was the difference? Jesus explained it to Peter. See, Peter was saying, God, what kind of a word is this? He said, what kind of a voice is this? Why did this happen like this? He said, Lord, I remember this. And Jesus simply gave one answer for the whole thing, and he said that is faith in God. He said, have faith in God. You see, Peter, when I said that, I believed in God. When I said there'll be no more fruit, I believe that that tree was finished from henceforth and forever. Can you imagine that now? He said, Peter, he could have said it in these words. He said, when I spoke to that tree, I believed in my heart, Peter, that what I said would be exactly the way that I said it. He said, now, Peter, let me tell you something. He said, you have faith in God. My. Somebody would have said, my God, what if I'd have been there and I'd heard the Lord God speak to me like that? Folks, you're here. And the Bible said, it shall not be the preacher that speaks to you, but God speaking to you. And Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Remember that the Lord Jesus Christ was not in human form when he spoke to Moses. He was not in human form when he spoke to Elijah. He was back there, the Spirit of God, the Word of the Lord, came unto the prophets. That's all it was, faith in the Word. Remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And it was faith in the Word. So then Jesus said, Peter, when I said that, I believe that's the way it was going to be. So he said, now Peter, listen, you have faith in God. He said, you have faith in God, Peter. He said, and I say unto you, Peter, you have faith in God. And I'm talking to you, Peter. And Jesus said, what I say unto one, I say unto all. He said, now I'm telling you, have faith in God. He said, because it doesn't matter, and this is what I want you to get a hold of now. The Bible said that whosoever, whether it's Moses, whether it's Joshua, whether it's Peter, whether it's Brother Pike, whoever it might be, it doesn't matter who it is. He said, whosoever shall stay under the mountain, be moved. Be moved out of your place. Said, don't doubt. But said, if that individual can believe in his heart, and don't doubt, it doesn't matter who he is, if he doesn't doubt, if he says unto this mountain, be thou removed, he said, and don't doubt in his heart, he said, that mountain will move. And he said, that man that says that doesn't doubt in his heart, said, you see what I've done to this tree, Peter? So that ain't nothing. That ain't nothing, Peter. For he said, the man that believeth in his heart and doesn't doubt, he said, that man can have whatsoever he saith. Whatever he says, it will work. And did you know I've tried that. It works. It really, truly works. You can come to the place to where you can have whatsoever you say. Whatever you say, God will do it for you. It's like numbers of things that we've said. We could write a book on it. Numbers of things. For instance, we said that this year, Johnny was reminding me of it this morning. He said, I remember what you said. He said, some folks don't believe what you said, but said, look at it. It happened just that way. I said, this year there will be flowers over the campground this year. I said, they'll plant flowers, they'll come up, we'll have flowers in the campground this year. I said, the revelation of the Lord shows it. I said, and we'll get a harvest out of our garden out here where we've not never been able to get it before. I said, but it won't be that way this year. We'll get a harvest. It happened just exactly that way. See, God said it, I believe it. Like Brother Taylor said about the plane. I said, God, give me the plane. That was an $86,000 project. I owe $2,000 only to be paid for. I said, God gave me the plane. And though the man that had the plane done everything he could to be contrary to it. And even after I negotiated for the plane. It's been a contrariness continually, but never did the plane move. It's our plane. Numbers and numbers of things, so many multiplied things. See, God said it, I believe it, I say it, God does it. He said it didn't matter. He said, whosoever will say that, whosoever will say that, whatever you've got, whether it's financial things, whether it be buildings, whether it be properties, whether it be whatever, it doesn't matter what it is, whether it be health, whatever, if you can say it and you don't doubt in your heart, you don't have to be a man. Somebody would say, well, my man, Brother Pike, he just ain't that kind of a man. Well, I'd forget about it. I wouldn't worry about it. I'd just be that kind of a woman. See, because he didn't say, whatsoever man saith this, he said, whosoever saith this and believes in their heart, it will come to pass. It doesn't matter if it's a woman, that doesn't matter at all. You just decree a thing in your heart. The Bible said it'll come to pass. Whatever you say, whosoever you are, whatever you say, if you say it, believe it in your heart, don't doubt it, it'll come to pass. I say again, the man that came to Jesus, he said, I want my healing for my child. So then something come up and it looked like that it couldn't be that way because the child had died. And someone said, too late, the child is dead. Jesus said, don't doubt, just have faith in God. Don't let that bother you just because somebody come up and said the child's dead. What's that got to do with it? What's that got to do with faith? What has death got to do with faith? And Jesus said, don't doubt. Don't let that bother you. And Jesus went his way. And Jesus raised from the dead. Why was that? Because it was faith. Why did Elijah raise from the dead? Why did Peter raise from the dead? Here's the same Peter. God is saying to Peter, Peter, have faith in God, he said. Peter, if I said this to the fig tree and it happened, then you're with me, you're eyewitnesses. And now I'm saying to you, Peter, all you've got to do is do the same thing. If you'll notice that, just notice, the other disciples didn't talk to Jesus like this. The other disciples may not have even noticed the tree. But Peter was after something. He knew something was going on. He was a leader. He was the one that noticed it. But did you notice that later it was Peter that was walking on the water? Or that's during this time that Peter was with Jesus. He was walking on the water. Did you notice it was Peter that raised Dorcas from the dead? Did you notice it was Peter's shadow that went out and the people were healed? And did you notice that it was Peter when he spoke to Ananias and Sapphira that they yielded up the ghost and they died? Why? Because Peter believed the word of God. The word of God said, Peter, have faith in God, Peter. Have faith in God, he says to Brother Pike. Brother Pike, have faith in God. Brother Taylor, have faith in God. Brother Taylor has his provisions regular by having faith in God. Have faith in God. He says to you, have faith in God. Whatever I say to one, I say to all. Have faith in God. He says, whosoever will have faith in God, whosoever will say unto the mountain, whosoever will decree a thing in his heart, whosoever will say and not doubt in his heart, that individual shall have whatsoever he saith. So then, while we're here, while we're preaching, while we're talking about the things of God, while we're speaking of the supernatural, now's the time to purpose something in your heart. Now's the time to put it to test. You say, well, I don't believe it. It don't work for me. Like somebody come to me yesterday and he was telling me all about how that the Bible said this and said it didn't work. And I know another man and the Bible said this and he tried it and it didn't work. And I said, oh no. You know, he come too late to tell me that. He's telling me all about how this thing didn't work. See, all of it didn't work. But folks, that's the old carnal reasoning. When you get out yonder, it's going to be like that. When you get out of the presence of the preacher, it's going to be like that. If you walk and talk with the world, it's going to be like that. You're going to think about the things of the world. Those kind of things are going to press your mind. Satan is going to harass your thinking. And that's the kind of an individual that you're going to be. But see, don't do that. Walk with men of faith. Walk with women of faith. Fellowship those that have faith in God. Don't mess with those out there that's always questioning the blessings of God and the promise of God. When you meet somebody that's always questioning God's promises, rebuke them sharply. Right then and there. You know, rebuke them sharply. Bring the scripture to them and tell them, you know, to try to help them get out of that. If they're the kind of people that's just going to continue in that, you get away from them. Don't mess with those kind of people. You be the kind of a person to say, God said it, I believe it, hallelujah, that's the way it's going to be, hallelujah. I'm not going to question the things of God. God said it, and I believe what the word of the Lord says about it. So then, like now, we're talking, you hear my voice, we're speaking, see? Why not now? They sing that song, why not tonight? If you would be saved, then why not tonight? If you would have something from God, why not right now? If you would find something from God, why not right now? If you've got a problem, why not dissolve the thing right now? If you've got problems and you need help from God, why not do it right now? See, why not purpose in your heart right now? You know, the hardest thing there is for a real believer to do is to work with people when it comes to the things in their life. Because as long as he does it on his own, as long as he does it by himself, he doesn't have to worry about anybody but his faith and his faith in God. And he can just go forward and do anything that he wants to do. But when it comes to human beings, he's got to get them to line up with him. He's got to get them to believe in the supernatural enough to believe that things will come to pass as he prays for them or as he preaches the word to them or as he tells them about the wonderful things of God. See, and that's the hardest part of it. So then while you listen, why not line up with God? Why not line up with God like this? Say, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter. God said it. I believe it. It doesn't matter what God says about it, you know. If God said it, it's got to be exactly that way, no matter how far-fetched it might seem. Doesn't matter what he says about it. He says it, I believe it, that settles it. And the same way with the world. It doesn't matter what the world says about it. As to doubting, it doesn't matter. God said it, and God's going to make it work. God will make his word good. God will not alter the thing that's going out of his mouth. God will not change the thing that's going out of his mouth. The Bible said God's word is sent forth to prosper in that whereunto he has sent it, and God will hasten to bring it to pass. So then, we shouldn't doubt it. We shouldn't worry about it. We should believe what God says about it. Somebody said, well, I don't know, Brother Pike. Well, if you're like that, you can never have anything from God. You've got to take God's word as a positive thing. I'm going to relate a little something, and I could doubt it myself. I'll be honest with you. It's hard for me to believe. But nevertheless, I believe it happened. My brother from Pennsylvania, he told me that he lived in a house. Another fellow lived in here. He said they planted a garden. He planted his garden over here. So the man planted his garden over here. He said it was nothing but a little walkway down between them, I believe it was. And he said this man over here done all he could to his and said he just prayed over his. And he said, Brother Pike, it's a true fact that my garden came up and my garden was in good shape and I got a good harvest and God took care of my garden. And said, this man right next to my garden couldn't get his to do anything. And said, the man marveled as he come over there and looked at his garden, knowing that they were right there close together, the same ground. And he wanted to know what he'd done to his garden. And he said, Brother Pike, my garden was just fine. Said, the other fellow's garden wasn't worth nothing. You understand what I'm saying? So I said, well, I can't believe that. Well, I'd find it hard to believe myself if I didn't believe in the supernatural. I just said, well, brother, I'm sorry, I can't believe that. But I do believe that. I believe that the brother believed that God was going to take care of him. And I believe that God honored his faith and the great, wonderful hand of God went out and gave him a harvest and that thing to show the other fellow that he needed to get right with God. I believe that. Because he told me, he said, I really believe, Brother Pike, that God was going to take care of my garden and that God was going to provide for me. Faith, sometimes you complicate faith and you make things real complicated. Instead of simply believing God, you make things real complicated. I see some of you sometimes, you look like you have a problem just keeping one automobile. You got one automobile and usually it's a junker and you can't get it to run. You have problems with it. And I was just thinking today, I mentioned it to Brother Richard. I looked down at his house, it looked like a used car lot down there. He's got so many cars. I mean, nice vehicles. See, it just proves one thing. Somebody is looking in the right direction. And one of the things that's really helped Richard, even as of late, Richard came to me of his own accord for a number of months. He worked down there on the Danville job, doing that and putting his job off, still coming to church. And doing that and those kind of things, that's what moves the heart. The Bible said doing those things that please God, it prepares your heart to believe. Hereby you assure your heart as the confidence toward God. And then when you do that, you just find yourself believing. You know, that's the way faith works. You don't try to manufacture something. Now, I'm not saying by that you don't have to make an effort to believe. Jesus said, Peter, have faith in God. You know, do the right thing, Peter. Live a holy life. Don't be going fishing. If you love me, feed my lambs, he said. Take care of my end of it. Do what I've commanded you to do. And then all the other you can do, Peter, when you get through with what I'm telling you to do. So then, pure and undefiled religion, that before the Father's real religion, something that will assure your heart toward God, then you'll have faith in God and you'll find that God will do something special for you. You'll find that faith working, whereas in the past it's never worked before. I challenge you to do these things and find out that it will work. You'll find out that it will work. So I don't say that you don't have to make an effort toward God to believe. You've got to make an effort. You know, your mind can get cast down. You can get tired. You can just get the feeling that nothing's going to happen. And you can get carnal. You can get out there and walk around with the others, and you'll find yourself just as carnal. You'll think, oh my God, I'm not living right. I don't feel like I'm holy. I made all of my, you know, the devil, he delights in doing this. You'll do everything you can to live for God. You'll do everything you can to overcome. And then after you do it all, the devil say, he'll say, you still feel carnal, don't you? You're not spiritual. You know you're no closer to God than you was before. See, but don't let that bother you. He'll say, you don't feel all that religious now, do you? You still feel about like you did before. And he'll oppress the mind. He'll harass the mind. But see, don't let that bother you. Just say, glory to God. It doesn't matter. Lucifer, I don't care what you say. God said it. I believe it. That's the way that it's going to be. I'm not going to change my mind. Now, I've done it. He told me to do it. I've done it. That's all I can do. And now I'm going to believe God. For the Bible said you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God that you might receive the promise. So then when you do it, that's all you can do. See, it's not of works anyway. You're not trying to get to heaven by works. You're trying to do something that will prove to you that you're favorable toward Christ, and Christ is favorable toward you, that you're not enemies, that you're not crossed up, that you're walking in fellowship, and that's all that you can do. And then make your effort to believe. Make your effort to believe. Take the word then, and whatever the word says then, make your effort to believe. Doesn't matter what it is, make your effort to believe after that you've done that. And folks, it'll work. It'll work. I'll guarantee you it'll work. You know, just keep on saying, I believe. Glory to God, I believe. And keep on trying to believe till after a while you'll get the right mental attitude toward it. And then your heart will begin to get in line with you. And you'll find out that you do believe. And something will jump up into your heart, kind of a little chuckle-like, a little satisfaction-like. Something will bubble up as if to say, hey, fella, you really believe that thing, don't you? You don't really believe that. Like the man that came out to the plane the other day, Saturday, while we was up there, he came out, this man by the name of Ken, about probably in his early 30s, I guess. He said, you folks are for real about this thing, ain't you? He said, you're gonna fly that thing. I said, yes, sir, the good Lord's willing, we're for real about it. And he stood there for a little while. He had a little push and pull plane, brand new and real nice guy. He said, well, he said, I see my buddy. He said, I better go over. He said, by the way, he said, if I can help you, let me know. I thought, well, how can you help me? So I quizzed him a little bit. He said, well, in the military, he said, it was my job to keep the radios going on these planes. And he said, I did that for years. He said, all you got to do is let me know. I'll do it for you. I said, man, I'll get in touch with you, and I'll be glad to do that. I said, and I'll pay you. He said, no pay. Said, you know what you're doing. Said, just let me know. I'll do it. You understand what I'm saying? Sorry, why did that happen? That man believed that we was really doing something for God, and he wanted to be a part of it. See, and why did that man ever come up like that? Because I believe in God. Somebody says, Brother Pike, how in the name of reasoning you going to fly that thing? You don't have a pilot to fly. Even if you bought the plane, they kept asking me that. You've got to have a type rating, and now I got a excellent pilot. Got two or three of them. Got the finest that Easton ever had. The captain of their pilots. Got him. Got two or three pilots. Got the best mechanic in the country. Here's a man that's full time as to knowledge of radios, ready to do whatever we want him to do. No cost. Needed parts. All we did was pray to God. And somebody in another town, another state, said, look, I'll give it to you for a tax write-off. See, God moving, God doing everything right, just exactly what we need, folks. God supplying all of my needs according to His riches and glory. God helping me. God standing with me in all that I'm trying to do. All I do is call on the name of the Lord Jesus and I say, Lord, I got a need. He says, that's all right, son. I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. Just have faith in God. You know, Brother Peter believed that. Peter took God at His word and he believed that. And one day the Lord said to Peter, Peter, come over here where I'm at. Wasn't any platform, wasn't anything to walk on. Peter was on the boat. He said, is that you, Lord? He said, that's me, Peter. He said, now look, if that's you, you just tell me to come over where you're at. Jesus said, come on, Peter. And old Peter, he bounced overboard and walked right on over there where he was. You know, and was doing real good, until he got to looking down at the wave and got to thinking about, oh my God, what am I walking on? You know, there ain't no platform out here. I'm out here in the middle of the water. And immediately, Peter began to sink. Immediately. I said that for this reason. I brought it out a time or two before, but I want to say it again. See, faith works instantaneously. How long, Brother Pike, does it take for faith to get into operation? Just as quick as Peter believed, it got into operation. How long, then? How far-reaching is faith, Brother Pike? It'll go just as far as you're believing. Just as far as you're believing. As long as Peter believed, he was safe. The very minute he stopped, his faith stopped. Isn't that right? And even though Peter did not have the conquering faith as to believe that he could walk on water, he still had enough faith in the mercy of God that he believed that the Lord wouldn't let him drown. And God reached down through that faith, saved Peter, and picked him up and took him to where he was going. You understand what I mean? So then Peter, walking along, it was Peter that had the faith that people could just see a shadow and be healed. It was Peter that they said, Peter, come over here, Dorcas is dead. Come over here. This one that we loved is dead, Peter. Come over here to us. See, they had confidence in God in Peter's life. And they believed because Peter had great dynamic faith. And so then Peter went over. And all he did was pray a simple prayer. And God brought the woman back to life. You understand what I'm saying? What does death have to do with it when God is in the arrangement? See, you that need something from God, why don't you give God a chance? If you hear my voice, then why not give God a chance? If you believe in the Word of God, why not give God a chance? Somebody say, oh, Brother Pike, I'm having the worst time that a fellow could have. And oh, I got problems with my in-laws, and I got problems with my employer, and I got problems with my body, and I got problems. I got problems. See, if you've got problems, then why not give God a chance with your problems? That's why that the minister's there, to preach faith to you. Someone would say, well, it don't work anyway. I done tried it, Brother Pike. Well, let's close the book. Let's close the church. Let's shut down the radio programs. Let's quit this thing about religion. Let's burn down all the churches. Let's do something and stop all of this foolishness in the world today. And stop the preachers from collecting all the money that they collect, if there's nothing to it. Let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die anyway. Let's forget about anything that says that there is something from God. But if it is of God, if there is a God, if this great thing is of God, then let's do like the songwriter said. You know, I'm to blame for my misfortune, he said, for somewhere I lost hope of His hand. You remember that song? It goes something like, I lost hold of His hand. It says, and I'm going back to the chapel in search of His hands. See, I'm to blame for my misfortune, for I lost hold of His hand. That's what we got to do, see, is realize that we're to blame. And we've got to place the blame where it should go. See, place it in the position wherever it should go. That's what we should do. Because when we do it that way, then we don't blame God. Then we don't get all out of sorts. Then we don't get in the wrong place with God. You know, we find ourselves in the right place with God. And we say, oh God, it's all because of me. I'm the one that lost hope.
of your hand. I was doing all right, Lord. I was walking all right with you. But all of a sudden, you know, there's a misfortune in my life. I lost hold of that wonderful hand of God. How do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus said, have faith in God. So it doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter who it is. Whoever it is, whosoever can believe in their heart and not doubt, can have whatever they say. Just decree a thing in your heart, and it will come to pass. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I just can't endure this heat, Brother Pike. Well, try your faith a little bit. Just say, glory to God. I'm going to breathe right. I'm going to do right. I'm in God's house. I'm going to enjoy the sermon, and I'm not going to sit around worrying about the heat. I'm going to use a little faith, and you'll find out that something will happen to you. Whew, I breathe good. You know why? Because I believe in God. I believe in God. I exert all this energy, but I still believe in God. Could go on and go on. The song said, let us go on, let us go on. Talking about this good old way. Let us go on talking about the Lord. So you sit down the whole time, I stand up. I holler the whole time and you just sit there. And then you tell me this rough on you. Now who is it rough on? I don't really notice it. I'll be honest with you. I love the Lord. I'm so enthused about the things of God till it doesn't bother me. I thank God for my strength. I thank God for the God that gives me the strength. Let's stand together. Think it over. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. All of you that are listening, have faith in God. Try God. Do you know the Bible said, try me herewith saith the Lord of hosts. See if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you'll not be able to receive. Try the Lord. Some of you never try God. You're so used to spending your pennies and leaning on your billfold or your purse until you've never leaned upon God. You've never given God a chance. Try God. Give God a chance. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, how are you going to do that? You know, when you know that you got money to spend. Well, that can be taken care of real easy. All you got to do is just give it to somebody or give it to the cause of God, and then you'll have plenty of chance to trust the Lord. The mere fact that you don't do that a lot of times proves that you don't have faith. Proves that you don't have faith. So then to love the Lord with all of our heart, that's the answer. They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the lands that's afar to feast with the king, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed faith, aglow with his light divine. We're partakers of God's grace as gems in his crown to shine. They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the lands that's afar to feast with the king, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face, aglow with his light divine. We're blessed partakers of God's grace as gems in his crown.
these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face, aglow with his light divine. We're blessed partakers of God's grace, as gems in his crown to shine. Hallelujah. God is so wonderfully good. God is so good. It's so wonderful to be a believer in God, to believe in the wonderful, wonderful name of Jesus, and to believe the wonderful words that Christ has spoken to us. To love him with all of your heart, with all of your strength. You know, when you come to church like this, and we're sitting in the church, we're supposed to give our strength to him. We're not supposed to grow weary and tired and depressed and don't have any strength, and as quick as we get out of here, just, you know, be eating and drinking and going and giving our strength to the flesh. We're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to give it to God. Give it to the Lord. We sing that song, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Let's sing that little chorus. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and you have to get along on megafare, oh, just remember in God's word how he fed the little birds. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Sing it with me, kid. Go leave it there. Go and leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Refuge, trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Go leave them there. Go and leave them there. Take your burdens to the Lord, leave them there. Refuge, trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Sing it one more time, can you? Go leave them there. Go and leave them there. Take your burdens to the Lord. Leave them there. Refuge, trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burdens to my Lord and leave there. Hallelujah. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion, 'cause it's goody. Not for me. I want that old time religion. Want that old time religion. Want that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough. Can you sing it with me? It will do when the world's on fire. It will do when the world's on fire. It will
do when the world's on fire? It's good enough for me.
Give me that old
time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good. Sing it like this now. It was good for the Hebrew children. It was good for the Hebrew children. It was good for the Hebrew children. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. And it's good enough. Just one or two more verses. It was good for Paul and Silas. It was good for Paul and Silas. It was good for Paul and Silas. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good.
One more time now.
It was good for my father and my mother. It was good for my sister and my brother. It was good for father and mother. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's,
sing it more time.
Give me that old time religion. Give me that old. Give me that old time religion. It's good.
One more time.
Give me that old time religion. It's good.
Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful?
It will do when I am dying. It will do when I am dying. It will do when I am dying. And it's good enough for me.
Sing it out.
Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's goody.
One more time, I'll stop.
Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's goody enough for me.
If it's good enough for you, let's just lift our hands and love the Lord, can we?
The old-time religion,
the old-fashioned way of worshiping God, the old-fashioned way. While we're standing here tonight, I know it's hot, I know it's uncomfortable. While we're standing here tonight, I'm going to ask Willie to come up. Ask Willie to come up and pray with us tonight in the closing prayer. And folks, try the Lord. If you've got anything on your mind and heart, and you've not been able to accomplish your purpose, I tell you what your problem is. You've not mixed faith with your efforts. See, mix faith with your efforts. Tonight, I challenge you to put some faith with it. Try God. He said, try me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. See if I'll not open the windows of heaven. Who then is God speaking to? He said, whosoever. Whosoever surely meaneth me. They sing that song. Whosoever surely meaneth me. So tonight he said, whosoever. So then if you're the one with the problem, then you're the one he's talking to. What is your problem? I want you to decree in your heart to believe God tonight for whatever the problem is. And I'm going to decree in my heart to believe with you as those that are listening to my voice, of those that are believing what I'm saying. And I'm going to decree in my heart that I'm going to believe with you as to whatever your problem is. If you're willing to believe, You know that little ones? That's you too. Little boys and girls is old enough to understand. If you got something you want, if you'd like to see something happen in your home, if you're troubled about mommy and daddy, whatever it might be, use your faith. Use your faith for salvation. Use your faith for healing. Use your faith to believe that God's going to use you in a great and a mighty way. It doesn't matter if you're a woman. It doesn't matter at all. God has used great women, made great women out of them. So use your faith. Use your faith. Get your thoughts straightened out. Get out of that old rut of intellectual wandering around in the wilderness. Use your faith. God will do something for you. Appreciate our sister from the Carolinas being here with us, Sister Lorraine. Always appreciate these wonderful people. They're very precious. They're our children of the Lord. We're always glad to have them to come down. I want you to believe with me now. Lift your hands, close your eyes. Willie's coming to believe. You know, Willie's a believer. Well, when we was up in, way up in New Jersey, and some of the other black brethren, they said, we can't do that. Well, Willie, he just walked right off and left him and come to New Jersey, come back down here, and the first news I knew, he'd done made another trip to New Jersey. And he just has come back from Florida from the boat. He and Brother Lynn's been down there pumping the water out of the dove, trying to get it ready to go. See, he believes. Willie is a believer. He comes showing me a new card that he received the other day. Willie's receiving these cards, these credit cards, just one right after another. They're giving them to him. And I mean, some card there that I ain't seen. God's blessing Willie with them. See, he said, I just believe God, praying, trusting the Lord, putting my substance out to God. He said, I'm right for me. Just give them to me. You know, see, he's a believer. So as Willie comes to believe with you, well, you pray tonight and you believe. You believe. Brother Pike will believe with you. Believe tonight and God will do something great and marvelous for you.